Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, the question, of course, today is going to be whether or not there'll be an end to the war in Russia. That's right. Trump said to Putin, it's time to end the war or face tariffs and sanctions. I like it. I like it. Let's get this thing done. Let's get this thing over with. Wouldn't that be nice? You bet it would. Absolutely. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. It is it's a big day for us today on the show because we have some great guests coming up for you. And I am just resetting my camera so that I can get on to our YouTube chat. But we're back on YouTube. We're streaming live on YouTube. So join the fun with us and we'll do that. And that'll be great. That'll be a lot of fun. And we'll get that going for you just momentarily. Aha, there we go. All right, cool. So actually, that's not good. Hang on. I got to fix that. I'm trying to change the camera, but it's not working. But let's see if I can see if that works. Well, we'll get it going in just a second. There we go. There we go. Now we're cooking with gasoline, as they say. So first things first. The issue of what's going to happen as we look towards the future of Pennsylvania politics now that we've got Senator John Fetterman coming out and saying he absolutely 100% is not going to switch parties. Never thought for a minute he was going to. Never thought he would. Dave McCormick is now the top dog in Pennsylvania politics. And there's going to be a couple-year gap between now and when the governor is up for re-election, Josh Shapiro. And Shapiro, obviously, is a very popular Democrat, but his eyes are set on running for president of the United States of America. On the Jersey side of the river, you've got King Philip the Unaccountable, his royal rugness, Phil Murphy. And there was a story today about how his ban on cell phone use in the classroom is gaining national news. All right. Murphy's another one who wants to run for president of the United States of America, and he's trying to Trump-proof New Jersey. At the same time, begging Trump to end congestion pricing going into New York City. So I'm not sure how the two things vibe. The reason why I bring this up is because you're about to start seeing ICE raids happening. And the question becomes, what do these two Democrat governors who both want to be president of the United States do? You know what the jackass Gavin Newsom's going to do? Not fight fires, not use water to put out fire, and not make sure that fire hydrants have water. You know that. You also know that he's going to say, we're not cooperating with any ICE raids. We're not helping, and we're not going to be part of the solution. Murphy has basically said the same thing. He says he wants New Jersey to be the California of the East Coast. Okay, he said that before. Got it. All right? He said that. Now, then the other thing, and this is the other question, of course, is whether or not that means that he's going to stop the deportations that occur in places like Newark, New Jersey, Camden, New Jersey, Paterson, New Jersey, and other places like that. Because if he does, he's going to find a very angry Tom Homan. Or is it all just going to be bluster and talk? Same thing with Josh Shapiro. Josh Shapiro, though, I think, since he wants to try to claim that middle road of the Democrat Party, if such a thing exists anymore, and I don't think it really does, I think he's going to be much more likely to say, we're going to cooperate on getting rid of criminals, while he turns around and says, but we're going to protect law-abiding citizens who are on a path to citizenship and get them on a path to citizenship. But of course, that's really, we're only talking about criminals here. We're only talking about going after the bad guys. The bad guys. Like in the last 24 hours, for example, ICE arrested over 308 serious criminals. Some of them were murderers. Now, look, I'm all for that. I don't really know how anybody could be against that is my question. Like, who's going to be against arresting murderers? And who would be against deporting murderers? Like, raise your hand if you're like, no, I think the country's better off with more murderers on the streets. I think it's better. Raise your hand if you think having rapists roam the streets is a better thing for America. Of course, nobody thinks that. They have so many criminals to go after. It's going to be a long time till they start grabbing the abuelas and pulling them off the streets and saying, Grandma has to go. But that's, of course, what the Democrats are going to scream about. Oh, something else happened today. Trump ordered all of the executive agencies to shut down their DEI departments. Yeah, baby. That's right. Shut down their DEI departments. And the mayor of Philadelphia is going viral for not being able to spell the word Eagles. Although I don't know if it was a joke because it's Eagles. I don't know. But anyway, that's gone viral. And we'll talk about that. Of course, we're going to have to, obviously, with the big game coming up on Sunday. Oh, and if you're wondering how we did on Fox News Saturday night, this past Saturday night, I'm going to share something with you. I'm not supposed to share this with you, but I'm going to share it with you anyway, right? So just keep this between us. And don't tell Fela that I told you this, okay? But it's between us. I tell you everything. Number one in the demo, the key demo for all primetime television, and number three in overall TV viewers Saturday night. And apparently, I didn't know this, there was a football contest on Saturday evening with 46 million people watching that. So despite the fact that there was a football game on, which is news to me, we were number one in the demo for all primetime television and number three in overall TV viewers with 46 million people watching football while we were on live 10 p.m. on Fox News Channel Saturday night. So there you go. I'm only telling you that not to brag. I'm only telling you that because your time is valuable. And I know that you're rooting for me, so I'm rooting for you. We're all in this together. The Zioli Army's a family, after all. So we're doing good, all right? We're doing good. Now, a little bit later in the show, if you're streaming live on YouTube, you're going to see me do my medicine on the air. The reason why is because I forgot to do it earlier, and I can't mess around with this. And I know I'm not supposed to mess around with this, so I'm not going to mess around with this, all right? I'm going to do this. We're going to do this right. I'm going to give myself my antibiotic. And we're going to watch me do it on the show. All right. That'll be live must-see TV special for the streaming YouTube crowd. I always try to give you something special on YouTube. Well, today you're going to see me whip out my IV, not whipping it out like Cuban style, whip out the PICC line and then inject myself with my antibiotic. All right. So you can look forward to that. Grab your popcorn and get ready. Good. The other thing is, a little bit later in the show today, we got a loaded up show today. So we've got a couple great guests on, including my buddy Brianna Lyman. She's going to be joining us soon. Gerald Posner. Now, we're going to talk about a bunch of things with Gerald Posner, but I really want to ask him about the JFK files that Trump says he's going to release, because Gerald Posner wrote the book, Case Closed, saying that there's, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald did it and that's the end of it. So I'm going to talk to him about that as well. And AI is all the rage. So actually, that's where I want to begin today on the show as we begin. And I'll say that that is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanariaVanaria, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Make Dr. Mike your choice when it comes to your dental care. So I got an email yesterday from my buddy, Brian Glass, very, very worried about the whole artificial intelligence thing. He's my DC and Marvel advisor, and he sent me a note on Twitter. And, you know, look, I try to read all the notes that are sent. I sometimes do a terrible job of responding. It's not because I don't want to. It's just because I get distracted very easily. I have no attention span, and also I have three kids. And also I'm dealing with this friggin' staph infection. So if I don't get back to you, I apologize, but know that I've read it. And I take it seriously, especially when you send nice things. All right, be nice, baby. Anyway, he sent me a note last night, and he said this is one of the most important things I've written. He said, "I'm very, very concerned about this artificial intelligence stuff." And I've gotten similar notes from that, from people saying they're very concerned about the artificial intelligence and how it's essentially now basically going to be like, well, the way it was with the Department of Homeland Security. And how the Department of Homeland Security coming on board was a thing that we all knew at the time was something that the government would use. And can artificial intelligence be weaponized against us one day? And it's a very serious concern. There's no doubt in my mind that artificial intelligence, will be problematic in the future. The question, though, is how do we harness it now? How do we harness it in a positive manner? And maybe you feel the same way as I do. Like, there's no stopping it. Like, let's say tomorrow the government were to come out and say, we're going to put a stop to this whole AI thing. All right. No more AI. Like, stop. No more artificial intelligence. Stop it right now. If they were to do that, the Bond villains would all laugh and they would proceed to creating AI anyway. So I think yesterday when Donald Trump brought these tech titans into the White House, who were all going to make a very important private sector investment into a public-private partnership with the government for the purposes of creating AI, is that the right move? Is that the smart move? Because now at least you're getting ahead of it. You're getting in front of it. What is inevitably going to be something that is just unstoppable, an unstoppable force, artificial intelligence. Is if we're not doing it, if we're not controlling it, it's going to be done. And either way, even if we do control it, it doesn't stop Dr. Evil from doing it inside the volcano and creating artificial intelligence that's going to be very, very problematic. And besides Dr. Evil, I'm talking about China. I'm talking about Russia, Iran. I mean, all the countries that are the pain in the neck. I'm not going to say axis of evil, but I'll say the pain in the ass caucus of countries. Particularly China. And that artificial intelligence we know is already being utilized. We talked about this with Congressman Jeff Van Drew yesterday. Artificial intelligence launching drones off ships and then changing the frequency automatically so that the drones become undetectable. Okay? There's nothing we can do except try to be on the right side of this and hope that our enemies don't develop it faster than we do. In many ways, the race for AI is really the race that we were in to try to get to the moon. There was a huge race to get to the moon first. It's funny, there's an interesting show on Apple TV, if you've ever seen it, called For All Mankind. And yes, they call it that. I was shocked they didn't change the name to For All Humankind, but they kept the name For All Mankind. And it's all about the space race and the question of if the Russians had gotten to the moon before we did, if the Soviet Union had gotten to the moon before we did, and it creates an alternative history, an alternative timeline that occurs as a result of that event. But it was if you were around then, it was a very serious race to the moon. It was also a very serious race to fake the moon landing. I kid, or do I? And the whole issue with Sputnik, and then, of course, there was an arms race. There was a space race, and there was a nuclear arms race. In many ways, AI, we're in the same place as that. It's who's going to be able to get AI under control first. And really, what I think nobody's saying out loud, this is my own personal opinion on this, is can my AI beat up your AI? No, really. If you were to think about it from the perspective of, like, kids on the schoolyard. You know, my dad can beat up your dad. And it's like, okay, all right, fine. And you remember the movie War Games with Matthew Broderick? Great movie. If you've never seen it, I highly recommend it. And it's one of my favorites of all time. But they had the Whopper, the computer, which was artificial intelligence, which essentially now would then control all the nuclear launches. And it becomes self-aware, so to speak, and decides to, you know, shall we play a game? I think in this entire AI conversation, what we're not talking about, we're talking about things like heart scans, scanning your blood for cancer. We're not talking about how our AI can be able to defeat China's AI in the great AI arms race for strategic control of planet Earth and the military and space. And I think there's a genuine fear of we don't know how advanced AI is from the perspective of other countries. I mean, in some ways, a lot of this has happened, and I think we're playing catch up. I think we're playing catch up because Biden's a moron, and Biden wasn't aware of all this happening. And I think the other reason why we're playing catch up is because for the last 4 years, our government was so hyper-focused on going after all of us, utilizing artificial intelligence and algorithms and everything else. So they weren't thinking about China. And when China launched their hypersonic missile, we all turned around and went, what was that? What just flew by? That seemed really, really fast, technologically advanced. So yesterday, Trump brings in these big tech titans, And they're all talking about how we're going to have all this money invested in artificial intelligence. And immediately, there's all questions about the invasion of privacy. There's questions about public health. But what I'm thinking is, how do we ensure our AI can beat up their AI if it ever comes down to an AI battle? And I don't even know what that looks like. It's it kind of reminds me of Frank Pantangeli in Godfather 2. You know, my God, I don't have your brain for big ideas. You know, I don't have the brain. My brain is not built for figuring out how artificial intelligence can rue the day. So every knowledge I have on this comes from movies. And we've always thought about AI turning on us. You know, we create this artificial intelligence, and then one day the machines get smart and decide to turn on us and kill us because they don't like us. And I don't blame them. I mean, it's any minute now, the robot overlords, and we always joke about that. But what we haven't really talked much about is when a country such as Russia or China or Iran or North Korea or whatever else, pick your country du jour, harnesses AI for the power of controlling, say, our power grid, disabling our AI for the purposes of bringing down the United States of America. And then in the course of all that happening, can their AI knock out our satellites? You know, we've had conversations about, say, I mean, think in the 1980s of President Reagan talking about Star Wars. And you remember how they mocked him back then about this? The idea of having an ability to shoot down missiles. Well, nowadays, that's just considered something that if we don't have that, shame on us. But if you remember the 80s, you remember how Star Wars was mocked over and over again. Everybody was going on about how Reagan's lost his friggin' mind. This notion that we were going to have a shield over the United States of America and be able to shoot down nukes ultimately led to one of the worst mistakes ever made, which is Superman IV, The Quest for Peace. And I mean this when I say that movie was an absolute disaster, where Superman decides he's going to end nuclear war and goes out and gets all the nukes and brings them up to throw them into the sun. And then there's a whole nuclear dude, and it's just bad. The whole thing is bad and never should have happened. I mean, still not as bad as anything they did in the DC Extended Universe with Ben Affleck as Batman, but really teetering on the edge there. So now we just kind of take that for granted. I mean, if tomorrow a nuke goes off by accident, let's hope to God that the technology is there to shoot it down. If not, we're all going to be looking at each other like, why don't we have that? Because it seems that we probably should, and I imagine that we do at this point. How many we can shoot down at one time, I don't know. But in the whole argument of artificial intelligence, we've always thought about bad guys hacking into things. What about artificial intelligence knocking out the defenses or knocking out whatever space defenses we have, or quite frankly, taking over our artificial intelligence and being able to manipulate that and control that for the purposes of strategic shutting down submarines, shutting down Air Force, shutting down planes, and all kinds of different things? I think that's a genuine threat that we're all just kind of playing catch up to. And I'm sure from the perspective of the bad guys, they're probably thinking the same thing too. Can the United States of America knock our planes out of the air? Can the United States of America disable our submarines from Washington, D.C., from the Pentagon, from wherever else, using artificial intelligence? Jack Carr's written a lot about this. You know, his books talk about this artificial intelligence that becomes sentient, and ultimately Lucy has all this power and becomes a major threat. I don't want to give anything away if you haven't read Jack's books, but they're using artificial intelligence now for military purposes. I'm glad Trump's there, because I think Trump is smart enough to figure out that when the guys who are smarter in this area than him sit down and explain what the threat protocol looks like, and then guys like Kash Patel sit down and explain, and Tulsi Gabbard, not that they're tech people necessarily, but that they can sit down and explain to him how artificial intelligence can be used against the American people, Trump's going to listen to that, pay attention to that, and then figure out how we can safeguard our liberties, versus if there was a lefty in charge who would either not be cognizant of the threat China poses or want to see the government be able to take advantage of this for the purposes of further going after people who shop at Cabela's and buy fishing poles and wear MAGA hats. You know what I mean? Like in the movie Captain America, Winter Soldier, because again, all of my knowledge on this comes from movies. There's a whole thing where they launch this giant ship and the ship has artificial intelligence and it's used to kill all the enemies of S.H.I.E.L.D. because Hydra has infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D. Captain America has to go in there and destroy the ship. But the ship has figured out who all the bad guys are and is going to go execute them. Luckily, Cap's able to save the day. But no, but I really do think that that's a real thing that they'd love to be able to do at some point. Forget profiling us. Wouldn't they love to be able to, at some point in the future, if necessary, literally have the ability to take action against us without really moving the needle too far? I mean, imagine a society in the future where the government could pinpoint its citizens that it doesn't like and take them out from the sky. See, when that movie came out in 2013 or whenever it was, that seemed like fiction. Ha ha, it's fun, right? Here's Captain America having to take down S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra because they put this big ship up in the air that has all these cannons on there and it focuses on all the people that are threats and then just starts systematically taking them out. I got news for you. You don't need to launch a big ship in the air. You can just have a satellite up in the air that is probably able to do the same thing and drones up in the air that can probably do the same thing. And an artificial intelligence algorithm that can figure out who are the people that are the biggest pains in the ass to the government. Are we that far away from a future where that becomes a very, very realistic possibility, where we think back to the good old days when the government just profiled us and read our emails? Really? They said after 9/11, it was a failure of imagination. They said that was the biggest problem with 9/11 was a failure of imagination. I look at AI and the threat of AI as two fronts, and I try to use my imagination here. I think of the threat of a foreign entity having the power to be able to disable us militarily using artificial intelligence, and their AI is able to beat up our AI and take control over whatever important infrastructure or whatever important military assets we have that are reliant upon artificial intelligence. And then I think about the dystopian aspect of this, which is that society then, which is able to control its citizens using artificial intelligence without ever having to worry about somebody ever firing a literal physical gun. Because that's always been our thing, right? A population that is armed, the government has to fear that population. But if the government's controlling drones over the sky that are able to pinpoint the citizens that are on the naughty list and take them out with frickin' laser beams, that's a scary prospect. That's a very scary prospect. Oh, and by the way, we do that with terrorists now. I mean, we have drone technology, but there's a guy sitting there and he pushes a button. So there's a human checkpoint there before that button's pushed and that person launches from the comfort of their seat at the Pentagon a drone thousands of miles away that goes into a little bodega and kills a terrorist. But what happens when the human element is taken out of it and that technology, which is there to identify the bad guys, and suddenly we're the bad guys? I think about that dystopian future. Then I think about the dystopian future of their AI beating up our AI and their AI controlling us and then turning us into the bad guys, all of us. And I think these are real legitimate concerns. Nothing you could shake your head at. And when I hear Trump talk about the investment in artificial intelligence, and I hear him talk about the advances, and I hear them talk about things like, hey, we'll be able to figure out if you've got cancer just simply by scanning your body with an app. I really believe deep down inside the subtext of that is, hey, China, we're not falling behind here on this. And if we're publicly saying what we're going to do with the AI stuff, what we're not saying behind the scenes, your people know as well as we do that we're well ahead of the curve on this. We get the joke. We know what you're doing. And only imagine what we're doing behind the scenes to make sure that we can handle you going forward in the future. So I got to believe, like, guys like Larry Ellison and other people who are writing these big checks, I have to believe that this is only a matter of ensuring that there are people in charge who care and give a damn about civil liberties and can harness this in a way. And then we don't do something stupid in the future, like elect somebody who doesn't give a damn about civil liberties, because that ultimately is the problem. This is coming. The only question now is, can we ensure that it comes in a way that benefits us and protects the Constitution and protects the rights of the American people while we're creating all of this, and we don't let our enemies get ahead of us on this, but then in the future, that we, the people, are not dumb enough to elect people who will then use that power against us, weaponize it, and use it for political purposes. Because the one rule, the Scioli axiom, has held true all of these years, and that is this: whatever liberty we sacrifice in the name of keeping us safe, the government will weaponize it and use it against the American people for political purposes. And make no mistake, they will do that with artificial intelligence. 100%. They absolutely will. So really, it's incumbent upon us to ensure that a couple of things happen. One, we always elect the right people. Two, we ensure that the bureaucrats, the faceless, nameless bureaucrats who have been empowered all these years to weaponize government, are rooted out, and whatever processes they have in place that have been able to weaponize the government against the American people. And remember, the president, as part of his executive order against weaponization, has demanded that within 30 days they make a report to him and they come clean on everything that these departments are doing. Well, that needs to happen. And every 30 days after that, that needs to happen, because we have to clean out whatever is happening within government and then ensure that that never happens again. So to come full circle here, it's like at the end of the movie when Cap says to Tony, or Cap says to Samuel L. Jackson's character, who is the head of S.H.I.E.L.D., and he says, S.H.I.E.L.D., Hydra, it all goes, right? It all goes, because it's been so corrupted. It's been so infiltrated by the bad guys. Before we really make moves on AI, we got a clean house and the weaponization of government, and root out all the people that were there who were using the powers that we gave them against the American people before we give them any more. And that includes the power of artificial intelligence. We got to think very seriously about this. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. All right. Lot to talk about as the show continues today. Brianna Lyman from The Federalist, my guest, she'll be joining me straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So let me know your thoughts on artificial intelligence and what your concerns are and what your fears are. Because, look, I think, you know, it's inevitable. It's happening. It's already happening. I mean, it's already here. And the only question is, how do we control it in a way that is beneficial to all of us, and hope that at some point in the future, it does not become so controlling over all of us? That's really the question. So feel free to give me your thoughts either on social media, on X at Rich Zeoli, in our YouTube chat where we're streaming live, or you can call the show at 855-839-1210 and let me know. But I think it's a situation, and let me play this clip of Jamie Dimon talking about Elon Musk. This is kind of similar to what Donald Trump Jr. has said before in the past. I think with all these people, having people who can be cognizant of civil liberties and to think about, I'm serious about this. Like, I know I joke around about superhero movies and I joke around about all these things, but I really want the people who are in charge to think way out of the box here in terms of what could go wrong. Like, what could possibly go wrong? I mean, George Orwell, for his time, was able to scare the crap out of us about 1984 and what could happen, right? About what could possibly go wrong. Well, he wasn't writing about AI. He was writing about authoritarianism and tyranny. And there's so many positive things that AI can do. Yes, there's a great article about this, why AI will save the world. And I agree. There's so many positive things that AI can do. No question about it. But we also know human nature. And we know that the nature of human nature is to control other people. the founders of this country, the framers of the Constitution, built a constitutional republic to restrain that impulse by people to control other people. And the problem with artificial intelligence is that it gives people who want to control people an easier way to do it, just like any other technology. And we've seen that with the weaponization of government. I mean, think about it. Could they have, when the FBI was surveilling Martin Luther King and all the other people, Aretha Franklin back then and Elvis, and, you know, back then they had surveillance abilities. That was the extent of the technology. And that was still enough to scare the crap out of Frank Church and the Church Committee and warn everybody about the power of the government to spy on its citizens. This was before Al Gore didn't invent the internet. You know what I mean? The internet comes along, and now the government's got all these new powers to be able to spy on us and weaponize things against us. ChatGPT comes along, AI comes along, and it's like, holy cow. You see what I mean? So the best defense is a good offense, as they say. And that's why I think thinking rationally about the impulse of people to control us. And look, we're not that far off. We came this close to having people like Nina Jankowicz control information under the guise of disinformation boards and what you can say and can't say, and then using algorithms, which is really what? A form of artificial intelligence to take down comments, articles, opinions that it didn't like. And in the process, trample on civil liberties and put the government's message out there in a big way. Lenny's in Pittman, New Jersey. Lenny, you're on Talk Radio 1210. What's up, my man?
It's a pleasure to speak with you, first and foremost, Rich. I'd like to give an analogy to everyone who said, Donald Trump, I feel like I'm on The View. Oh, let all these prisoners, all go. They assaulted police. They were a threat to democracy, and nobody's above the law. And he pardoned all of them. May I remind everybody that the George Floyd riots in Minnesota burnt the town down, assaulted police, assaulted anybody within their path, and did whatever they wanted and literally destroyed the town. Not one person was arrested, and not one person served time. And if they were arrested, Kamala had a fund to get them out.
Yes, indeed she did, Lenny. She did. And in some cases, they got grant money to help rebuild the very places they burned down to the ground. So you're
now,
right about
and,
that.
And one other thing I'd like to talk about, Joe's pardons. You know, Trump did not hide this. He told you he was going to do it.
Yep.
And he did. But how about the Cash for Kids judge that Biden pardoned?
Yeah.
Cash for Kids. They killed themselves. That's a character. And if I hear one more time, well, I heard it this morning. I'm not going to tell you what show I do it now. I watch it for entertainment. Well, he's already lost two kids. He's trying to protect Hunter. Well, maybe you should have protected him with some drug addiction that you could afford or some kind of rehab, because obviously it didn't work.
Well, Lenny, I got to run. I got to guess, buddy, but great points. And I'll say on that Cash for Kids thing, too, even the governor of Pennsylvania came out and said that pardon was completely outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. But hey, let's turn to our great friend Brianna Lyman from The Federalist. She is the elections correspondent over there. And I heard she's fighting a cold. Brianna, how you feeling?
Rich, I don't even know if this is a cold. I feel like the Lord has come down and given me a plague. It's been 2 weeks now, so.
But you don't deserve a plague.
That's what I'm saying. There are far more deserving people of this. So I'm hoping I might spread it around D.C. a little bit this weekend.
I mean, I saw the pictures you posted to Instagram, which were great. But you put your sick mask on and said, don't let these pictures fool anybody. And I said, what's going on with you here? So did you spread? Are you a super spreader?
I might be. You know, the problem was I really wanted to rally hard. We're entering the new golden age of America, and I knew this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So I put on my brave face for about 3 hours, and then I left the ball early to go home and be sick.
Well, you missed my night, Saturday night, Brianna, because they kept us apart again on Fox News Saturday night. And I have a staph infection in my foot. I think I told you that. And
yes.
I went up there and I had to bring my little scooter because I can't walk on it. So I was scooting around. This time they didn't have us walk out like they had you walk out when they announced us. So we were seated at the table when we came back from break. But after the show, we did the thing that you never do. smart because you're intelligent and you're not a derelict. But we went out for drinks and I had my scooter with me and I've been doing Dry January. Another thing that you don't do, which is drink alcohol because you're smart and not a derelict. And at the end of the night, I crashed my scooter into an SUV and this guy comes out of the car and he has this big Russian furry hat on. I'm not even joking, Brianna, gold teeth and braces. And I thought, I'm going to die. Like, I'm literally going to die right now. And it was Uzbekistan. I said to him, are you Russian? He goes, no, I'm Uzbekistan. And then he offered me a Turkish cigarette. I didn't accept it, but it became my pal. But man, it was close. So.
And you lived to tell the tale.
I did. So we both had quite an eventful weekend, but you at least got to see the president, and I just got to see Jimmy Fallon. So, you know.
I'll take seeing Jimmy Fallon this week. It'll be a trade-off. You could see President Trump this week. I'll see Jimmy.
Are you back on the show this weekend?
I know, but I will be back in February, and it better be with you because we're getting the band back together.
All right, good. Excellent. Excellent work. Your latest piece over at The Federalist, which I encourage everybody to read, and follow Brianna on social media, by the way, at Brianna Lyman 2, is about Pete Hegseth and the baseless allegations and how it proves that they've learned nothing post-election. They've learned nothing, Brianna. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, so the NBC News comes out with this report that apparently Pete Hegseth's ex-sister-in-law, I think she was married to his brother, came out and said that Pete's second wife, I believe her name is Samantha, feared for her life on multiple occasions in some capacity. And what the article fails to mention until the ninth paragraph is that Pete's ex-wife, you know, the alleged victim, says that didn't happen. She never feared for her life. In fact, both of them actually signed a document in 2021 saying that neither spouse ever felt like they were in a position of harm with one another, physical harm. And yet NBC went forward with the story. And it wasn't just NBC. You have the AP, the New York Times, every other outlet, CNN, they picked it up and they regurgitated it out as if there was any kind of way to substantiate the story. And so when you think of, okay, well, there's no evidence. Both parties have refuted this. There's like this weird third independent party who's making this outrageous claim. You say, why would they publish that? And then you remember, they are trying to assassinate Pete Hegseth's character. Mm-hmm. This is character assassination, and they clearly have not learned their lesson in that the American people are tired of these games. They're tired of having the media be treated as propagandists to promote some kind of thought ideology.
Yeah, they are. They are tired of it. You're exactly right. And they're afraid of Pete Hegseth. I mean, let's think about this, too. The swamp is very afraid of him. That's number one. And they have reason to be afraid of him because he's not a warmonger and he's not going to just do the bidding of the Pentagon. That's a very, very important piece of this. The other thing, too, is that they don't want somebody who doesn't come from Washington. Right? They don't want somebody who comes from outside of the swamp. And so they're rebelling from inside. And the media does what it always does, which is it works with the swamp for the advancement of trying to destroy people in Donald Trump's orbit. And I think we're seeing that play out here. I don't think it's going to be successful, though.
I don't think so either. You know, there is a seriously high distrust in the mainstream corporate left-wing media right now. And that is because they spent years peddling hoaxes and smear campaigns and what have you. And people wisened up to that because they realized that those were all just cover-ups to detract from what was seriously going on, you know, with the economy, with immigration, crime, what have you. And Pete Hegseth has somehow found himself in the crosshairs because he is simply the only target that they think they could have these manufactured hoaxes come up about because they've just selected him as their target. And I think the reason is because he threatens the military-industrial complex, right? This man is an outsider who's going to shake up Washington on behalf of people who are willing to put their lives on the line. You know, Pete understands that very well. At any point, he could have been killed in service of this country, and he knows the weight of that, whereas people who don't have that same experience don't understand that, and so they're willing to push that military-industrial complex and push forever wars.
Yeah, how about Trump saying in his inaugural address, Brianna, how he wants his legacy to be as a unifier and a peacemaker. I mean, that's the kind of thing that everybody should stand up and cheer for. That's fantastic. If 4 years from now we can say that Donald Trump helped unite this country after all the division that the left has sowed and that we have peace in the world, my God, that's an incredible legacy. And by the way, that's not something that a fascistic dictator would want. Everybody should cheer that on. That would be great for the world if that happened.
I mean, it happened during his first 4 years. You have the Abraham Accords. Not a single foreign war broke out, right? It happened, but he never got credit for it. And I think the difference between this and his first administration or his first term is that he will get the credit he deserves this go around, because the American people actually have an appetite for this type of policy that they saw during the first 4 years, but they were almost, they had the wool pulled over their eyes, essentially, by the media. You know, they couldn't really see it. But now looking back, they have the hindsight and they can see it and they can have an objective response to it and say, like, you know what, this was a man of peace. No foreign wars, Abraham Accords. And Donald Trump will, I think, restore that type of presence on the international stage and bring more peace.
Yeah, I agree with you as well. And the left is also not learning their lesson on issues, because they're still going to the extreme left. I mean, I just saw you retweeted how the Democrats blocked the Born Alive bill, which protects babies born alive in botched abortions. And again, I mean, they don't get it, that they're still going to be extreme on all of these issues. And for that reason, they're going to keep losing.
They are. And when it comes to the Born Alive, and when it comes to the issue of abortion, Republicans need to stop cowering away from it. And what I mean by that is, if you look at what Ron DeSantis successfully did during 2024, is they had those referendums on the ballot in terms, I think it was the six-week heartbeat bill. And instead of shying away from the topic of abortion, because the left-wing media has dominated the conversation, because they use, you know, pictures of crying women and they make up lies about women who get, you know, take abortion pills and have adverse reactions to that and claim that they were denied treatment. That's what happens in Georgia. Ron DeSantis faced that head on. He took the narrative about abortion, about heartbeat laws, and he was successful. Floridians listened, because that's actually a message that resonates with the American people, regardless of political affiliation. So I think Republicans need to focus during Donald Trump's term on also focusing on the abortion issue and sticking to their guns and not moving more and more to the middle on an issue that we should not compromise on.
I agree with you. And they will always go to the extremes, even on the DEI stuff, right? Even on all these other issues, the left is always going to go to the extreme. Brianna Lyman's with me. She is the elections correspondent for The Federalist. You should definitely follow her on social media at Brianna Lyman 2. She's also an outstanding guest on Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Fallon, particularly when she's on with me. But she's fighting the plague right now, so we wish her the best, and we hope that she gets better very, very soon. Here's the question I have for you. There's a rumor today that Trump is going to declassify all of the JFK files. I hope it happens. I'm praying that it happens. Do you think we can actually see this occur in our lifetime, Brianna?
No, and I think I saw some people tweet that it's not going to happen today, but it should happen at some point. You cannot pretend to be a government of the people when you hide information from the people. That is not the role of government. It's not the type of government that the founders ever thought of. And when you permit the government to hide things that are questionable and that people have a lot of questions surrounding it, it just is that slippery slope argument. What else will they hide from you? We know they hide so much stuff from us. But you have to put pressure on them to do the right thing and to listen to what the American people want.
Yeah, I would like to see it happen, too. I'd also like to see all the files released on anything that's really classified at this point now that's been so old. And then the question, of course, is why do they keep classifying things so much? It's another thing Trump wants to change. I just worry that people are going to get around him and be like, you know, Mr. President, if you declassify this, then something bad's going to happen. And I'm hoping that he'll just do it anyway so that we can all learn the truth about this. And maybe all the only thing it's classified right now is about JFK's sex life or something like that. Who knows? But I just would love for the truth to finally come out, just so that we can all say they're not keeping the secret anymore. And so Bobby Kennedy can learn the truth about his uncle's assassination. I mean, let's face it, he's got a compelling interest in wanting to know the truth about this.
Oh, absolutely. And I would go further than just JFK. I mean, I want to know a little bit more about Area 51. You know, there's a lot of things.
Yes.
A lot of things that need answers. And again, Donald Trump has an opportunity right now. I don't want to use the word lame duck, but I'm thinking of that just because we know he can't run for re-election, right?
Right.
So he should do every single thing he could possibly do to disrupt the system.
Yep.
Because he doesn't have to worry about re-election. And if that includes releasing or declassifying documents, go forward.
Yeah, be the ultimate disruptor, right? There's exactly. Nothing holding you back. This is the time now we can do this. And if we don't do it now, then we will lose a great opportunity. And I think that's why he's surrounding himself with so many disruptors and people like Tulsi Gabbard and Pete Hegseth and Kash Patel and all these other people, because they're going to go in there and disrupt these agencies. Between the Chevron deference doctrine being overturned by the Supreme Court and Trump saying we're going to end the weaponization of government, and then you've got DOGE, we really have a chance now to streamline the executive branch of government. Because let's face it, Brianna, right? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the executive branch of government that has grown out of control. It's a monstrous division of branch of government, and it has more power than the founders could have ever imagined. If we don't rein it in now, it'll never be reined in. That's how I look at it.
Absolutely. You know, when the election happened, right before the election happened, I remember thinking to myself, the fact that the entire country, no matter what side of the aisle you were on, is concerned about who will win the presidency is indicative that the executive branch has far too much power, because it was never intended to have it.
Yep.
It's understandably three equal branches, but the way that the presidents for decades have waved the pen around and done things without Congress, have done things that they probably presidential pardons like Joe Biden did, right? Things like that. That should be indicative that we have strayed so far from a limited government perspective, equal branches of government in a limited government.
What do you think the Democrat strategy is now? I mean, as the elections correspondent for the Federalist, how does the Democrat Party rebuild? I was thinking about this the other day when Peter Ducey asked Karine Jean-Pierre, who's in charge of the Democrat Party now? I mean, I guess technically Chuck Schumer is the highest ranking Democrat, but I don't think he's in charge of the party. And there's going to be obviously, I mean, there already is a battle for sort of the soul of the Democrat Party. So how do Democrats rebuild from this, you think?
I don't see how the Democrat Party has anything to rebuild on, because their stances on immigration are wholly unpopular. You know, people don't want mass illegal immigration, and people also don't want mass legal immigration. And it's not for anything other than you have to protect the people within our borders first, and that includes protecting American culture and values, what have you. You can't do it on economy, because on economy, they want to, instead of having people pull themselves up by the bootstraps, they want you to pull your bootstraps on and then go work for your entire block. Right? There's nothing that they have that is actually of value, because they don't believe in core principles like hard work, like God, like family. They don't want to put those things first. So I think what you'll see instead is you'll see the far left go further left, and that will be the Democratic Party mainstream over the next few years, like the AOC types. And then I think you will see your JFK type Democrats, so to speak, just become independents or become Republicans. I don't think they're going to end up finding a home in the Democratic Party.
Interesting. We shall see, my friend. Well, always great to catch up with you. Feel better, okay, Brianna? Feel better. And follow Brianna on social media and wish her well at Brianna Lyman 2. Thank you, my friend.
Rich, it was great seeing you. I will see you in February on Jimmy's show.
I hope so. Make it happen. You got the pull. I don't. I got no pull with that guy, so make it happen.
I'll do my best.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, in the 4 o'clock hour, what did somebody call it here? I think I got a note, and it said it was Joe Snow who said must see IV. Get it, DeSantis? Like must see TV? Must see IV. I'm going to take my drugs. All right? I'm going to shoot myself up with my antibiotic. I got it right here in my formerly pangolin stained fingers. You'll get to watch. It's four different things too. It's two. I'm missing one. It's a couple things. I need one more. My wife didn't give me this. I got to do one more thing. Four total things I got to inject into my arm. So you get to watch it. So that alone, I'd say you should jump onto YouTube and watch the live stream. All right. Plus, give me your thoughts on AI. Are you afraid? You think it'll save the world? Should we be worried about it? All the above. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.